And 51551 is our text number. And 1857 15 815. Anne Walsh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're listening there to Caroline Sloan about Emma, what happened in O'Connor Street on the Wednesday before Christmas last. You say, just to start at one end of it, where Caroline was saying about running into the pharmacy, you say in Scotland they've introduced a system in pharmacies.
Yeah, they have a sign on the, displayed in pharmacies, kind of an orange sign, where they have the staff in the pharmacy have signed up that they will carry an adult and pediatric dose stock in the pharmacy at all times, and that the staff are trained in emergency administration of the adrenaline.
Because at the minute you can only get an EpiPen on prescription.
That's it. Yeah, you can only get an EpiPen on prescription. So I thought it's a good way around it, at least if you know that the local pharmacies that they have signed up. I think about 70% of the pharmacies in Scotland have signed up to this. It's a voluntary system, and that they're, you know, prepared to carry and administer adrenaline in an emergency situation.
Because the administration, using an EpiPen, now it's relatively straightforward, i.e. into a muscle mass on the body. It shouldn't go anywhere else.
But they're saying even, you know, from small children, like from up the age of about 10 upwards, that they can be, you know, shown how to self-administer. So it is. So it's Anapens or Jext in Ireland, but they're very similar to the EpiPen. It's just a different way of administering the adrenaline. But they are all very straightforward, simple auto-injectors to administer, yeah.
And when did you discover your own daughter had this very serious allergy?
Coming up before her second birthday, so we weren't aware that she had allergies, but she had fairly bad eczema as a baby, and that's kind of like some of the telltale signs. A lot of these children have eczema or asthma, so was eating peanuts, and I was kind of more concerned of her choking than anything, but she ate one or two and just immediately, almost instantly, started to swell, just very rapid moving red rash moving up her body and everything, mouth, eyes, everything started to swell. So we just didn't even think at the time calling an ambulance. I just bundled her into the car and drove straight in. Luckily, we live close, about 10 minutes away from our local hospital. So, but it was quite frightening at the time that she was kind of slumped forward in the baby seat. She wasn't answering me. So I literally just kind of abandoned the car outside the door of casualty and ran in and threw her up on the counter with it, you know, where you register. And they responded really quickly, got nursing staff out immediately, you know, bleep the doctor, and they gave her, she had got adrenaline less than 20 minutes from eating the peanut. So once she got the adrenaline, then they started to stabilise her. So it was quite frightening at the time. And I would just like, I suppose, say quickly to Caroline and Emma's family that our heartfelt sympathies go out to her, because it's every parent who's managing those sorts of life-threatening allergies' worst nightmare, you know, and everyone would have the utmost of sympathy for her and the situation she was in, you know.
And but she was on the main street of the country, and she couldn't get an EpiPen.
Yeah. I know. It was just, it's horrendous. It's so frightening to listen to as a parent, because it is, like I say, your worst nightmare. And you try, you know, to carry heavy adrenaline on you all the time. But, like, being honest, a lot of time, I think even parents managing allergies aren't always necessarily aware of how quickly it can be fatal. And I think, you know, what the parents in this country need who are managing these allergies is support from the HSE, and that there should be allergy nurses in all the hospitals, the way there is diabetic nurses that can train parents. And it's the same in the community, because if your child has these allergies and you want to send them to a creche or school, there's no one specific assigned for training the staff. So a lot of the time it's the parents. Sometimes a public health nurse will do it, but not always, or a doctor. So there's no structure in place. There's no support. So as a parent kind of managing these allergies, you often feel like you're out on your own. The Irish Anaphylaxis Campaign is good, and they try and help support parents. And there's another professional organisation, IFAN, the Irish Food Allergy Network, which are consultants and dietitians in professional healthcare. They're trying to push for allergy nurses, but personally, I think it's disgraceful that there isn't, that they don't already exist, because, you know, it can be life-threatening, as we have seen, unfortunately, in Emma's case, in a very short period of time. And as a parent, when you bring your child to birthday parties or schools, you get the whole range of reactions from people who don't take it seriously and think, you know, the child should just like, oh, not allergy, not another one of those, or people who are afraid to let your child participate in clubs or parties because they're afraid of it, you know. but most people in the main are very good. But I do think there's a definite need. I think Emma's mother's very brave to come on, and I think she's right that there should be EpiPens in schools for sure, and creches. And because, as she said, you know, I think in up to 25% of cases, a person going into anaphylactic shock is unaware previously that they had an allergy.
So it can come on very, very suddenly and unexpectedly. Anne, you set up an organisation called Allergy Lifestyle.
Yes, yeah. I set up a website, it's allergylifestyle.com, yeah, because I found it very hard to get anything for my daughter in the line of awareness. So if you, for example, take your daughter to the school sports day and parents are handing out sweets left, right and centre, and if your child's not already in the school, they wouldn't be aware. So it was really to bring together all, what I felt, all the products that you'd need if your child was diagnosed or even an adult with anaphylaxis. So all the kind of awareness wristbands and adrenaline pen holders, trainer pens to show other people how to use the pens, and translation cards if you're going abroad, and books and things like that. So medical jewellery, just so I kind of felt. And I put a lot of information on this, up on the site as well, from a mother's point of view, my experiences, because my daughter is 10 now, so we've kind of gone through all, bringing her to creches, birthday parties, Halloween, Christmas, all this, write articles on that and put them up on the website on managing allergies in schools or creches, or and lots of links to organisations where you can get more information and sample anaphylaxis management plans and that, because I just felt at this stage I had kind of a lot of experience, and if somebody could tell me when I started out with this, kind of what I know now, it would have been a lot easier. So,
but it sounds like, I know we've covered allergies and anaphylactic shocks before, but I think the the difference in this case is the fact that this young girl of 14 years of age, at 20 to 6 on the busiest, if not the busiest day of shopping day of the year, Wednesday before Christmas, exactly a week before Christmas, gets an gets an attack, anaphylactic attack, and cannot be saved. Okay, the fire brigade, when they were called, got there quickly, and they carry, as you know, adrenaline in doses strong enough and big enough to deal with any scenario. But still, the woman's running up and down O'Connor Street almost, running into a chemist. There's a panic going on. The chemist, I presume that it can't be administered without prescription, so that was the problem. And God knows what else had happened to that chemist that day. You know, we don't know what things, so it's a very busy street. But can there be no protocol? Can there not be a protocol from the Irish Pharmaceutical Union about what to do in these situations?
Yes, most definitely. I think it's a disgrace, and it must be really hard for her family. That, I mean, your heart, oh my God, I cried myself when I read it. For anyone to die on the street with her sisters there and everything, it was just horrendous, and it shouldn't have happened. Besides that, you're right, there should be a definite protocol out there so that every pharmacist, no pharmacist is under the illusion that they can't administer it. Caroline's idea of, you know, that they can wear a bracelet or something is a good idea as well, but it is tragic. It was absolutely heart-wrenching just to hear about it and to think, like anybody managing an allergy like that, it's just your worst nightmare, because you take a big leap of faith when you go anywhere with your child, every restaurant, every day, because the medicine, you know, has to go with the child. Everyone has to know how to use it, and it's just,
as Caroline said, and she's held out for 4 months, and you can't imagine, none of us can imagine, we can get a glimpse of the grief she's going through. Her 14-year-old daughter dies in her arms in the middle of O'Connor Street on December the 18th at 6 o'clock, 6:50 in the evening, and the child says to her mother, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going, this is her last words to her mother, she's attack. There has to be a much quicker reaction from all the authorities than there has been heretofore.
There has.
It's now 4 months. As she said, that was Christmas, it's now Easter, and nothing is done.
Forward.
Julia, Mary is there, 51551, Julia is there. Mary, good afternoon. You say the bracelets that Caroline wants would be bracelets that would allow a pharmacist to actually give an emergency dose of adrenaline. But you say there are already bracelets out there, Mary, of some description.
They're ordinary, like an identity disc bracelet, Joe, and you just get your allergies engraved on it, because everybody has a different allergy. My grandson has 4 allergies, so his bracelet has all of the allergies engraved on it. But to get a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old boy to wear that bracelet, that's another whole that's another whole story.
But does the bracelet have any standing, if you follow me?
No.
In other words,
no,
that's what I mean.
Just make everybody aware.
But surely what Caroline is saying is we need protocols. We need an agreed bracelet that's given by a GP.
Yeah.
We need an agreed protocol with pharmacists about somebody running in a total panic. And I know signs can be misread and times of day and whatever happened beforehand. But there needs to be protocols out of this. There has to be something
done. There does. And I think the idea of the card was an excellent idea.
Like a
donor card, if you like. I think that's a brilliant idea.
But that you're
giving
it.
And everybody in the family and in the should have one of those cards, so that whenever they're... You see, I still say to my grandson from time to time, what happens if you're not with your mum? She carries the pen everywhere. What happens if you're not with your mum? Nobody there will know that you're allergic to penicillin or to anything.
So that's why he has
so
to wear it.
So to have a card...
Yeah.
You know, in a wallet or in a pocket or in a whatever.
And how was he diagnosed?
He was diagnosed when he took a peanut from his dad, who was eating peanuts. He was 5 years old, and within seconds he was practically not able to breathe. So they rushed him to A&E, and they gave him the injection, and then they made an appointment for him with his GP to have blood taken, so that they could do what's called a RAST test. And that test is sent off to Scotland, and it comes back in about 10 days, telling you exactly the allergies that you have. Now, he's 99% anaphylactic to peanuts. He's allergic to all nuts. He's allergic to shellfish, to penicillin, and probably bee sting, but that has never been... We've never tested that.
Have you ever
he's an allergic child. He's
okay,
very
but he doesn't carry an EpiPen himself on him.
He does.
Oh, he does. Okay.
He does. He just turned 13 lately, only since he went into secondary school.
And can he administer it himself, or are teachers shown how to do it?
Well, there are two pens in his school.
Mm-hmm, great.
And his mum carries two because she read an article that said, you know, they're not all 99% reliable. So it's better to have two rather than one that doesn't work, which is absolutely of no use. But I was saying to your researcher that he is so allergic that when he travels by plane or train or whatever, first of all, they have to alert the staff on board that they're carrying this needle because it's looked on as a weapon.
Okay.
And secondly, they have to make an announcement to say that would people please not open peanuts in the plane, because if the dust goes into the air
system,
and he breathes it in, he becomes allergic immediately.
Okay, thanks, Mary.
But he is so on top of this. It's unbelievable for a child so young. Yeah. He will not put a crumb into his mouth without finding out if it's attached to any sort of a nut.
Because it's life and death, unfortunately, Mary, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mary. Mary in Dublin, and Julia. Julia's in Cork. Julia, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You suffer yourself.
I do, yes. I carry an EpiPen with me at all times and have done for 20-odd years or so. The issue I wanted to raise in particular, Joe, was in connection with my experience doing a first aid course a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little bit taken aback to hear from the person giving the course that the first responders or the first aiders were told that they must give the needle to the person who is having the anaphylactic shock, and it is they who must administer the needle, not the person who was, you know, we weren't trained, we were told you're not trained to use the needle or administer it on the person, they must do it themselves. Now, I've never had a full anaphylactic shock, but my knowledge of it, limited as it might be, is that one of the symptoms is shortness of breath, and people's coordination has a tendency to be thrown awry. And I just think it is incredibly difficult to see how somebody in the midst of an anaphylactic shock would be able to remove the cap off the EpiPen and administer the EpiPen and coordinate all of that whilst they're trying to gasp for breath. And I just don't know if that was just my experience or whether it's a policy with first aid courses, but maybe that's something that one of your listeners might be able to answer.
Well, Julie, did you ask?
Yes, I did. And yeah. I thought I'd misunderstood.
Yeah.
And I was told that no, nobody was entitled to actually administer the needle, that it must be handed to the person. That's all you can do is hand them the needle and they must administer it themselves.
Well, obviously a doctor can, a paramedic can.
Well, I'm sure, but this was a first aid course. It was just, you know, organised through a workplace. So these were just, you know, there was nobody there with medical degrees or anything like that.
But did they say to you, like, you put it into a muscle mass, don't you, the thigh?
That's correct. But yeah. What was very clear is that it is the person who is suffering the anaphylactic shock is the person who administers the needle. I was told you must hand the needle to the person.
Well, is that for insurance purposes?
I assume so. Now, as somebody who, like that lady's grandson, I travel on airlines. I have to notify them in advance. I'm very careful. You know, if I go to any social functions, I make everybody at the table aware that I have an allergy. I'd like to think I was very conscious of what I eat, but you never know. There could be
cross-contamination. And what's the reaction when you say you have an allergy?
Most people are very, you know, they would have, most people have heard of it at this stage, but
yeah,
it was much rarer, obviously, 20 years ago. And I also think that there seems to be a very cavalier attitude in some restaurants and things. I don't think that the seriousness of the allergy is sometimes understood or accepted, to be honest. Cross-contamination of food is still a big issue, and I see it in delis all of the time where spoons are being used for, exactly. And I just think that my own reaction that I had was caused by cross-contamination when somebody used a spoon from a peanut a selection and they put it on, and I was used for filling a sandwich that I wanted, and that was my only experience of it. But I just think that there are, you know, there's a wider issue out there about the policy and who can administer the needle and all of the rest. I've always said to anybody around me, please administer the needle.
Absolutely.
I'd rather suffer a bruising than the risk of having a full anaphylactic shock.
Well, the idea is you deliver it into a muscle mass, and there's plenty of them in the body. You don't put it straight into the chest or anywhere near vascular system.
No, yeah. But I just, maybe somebody who is a first aid course manager.
Well, as I say, we have this grotesque scenario. Unfortunately, that the protocols at the minute are that a child is in the middle of the busiest street in the country in the busiest week of the year at 6 o'clock, just after 6 o'clock in the evening, and couldn't get an EpiPen, and the child died. That's the reality. Thanks indeed, Julia, and thanks indeed,
Dan
Walsh. 51551. It's just 4 months since Emma Sloan died on O'Connor Street in Dublin from a peanut allergy, and she couldn't get an EpiPen. Fiona, you say 6 weeks ago.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, 6 weeks ago, I had a very serious reaction after eating a meal in a pub restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That I flagged to the staff that I had a peanut allergy, and still after the meal, I was struggling to breathe, facial swelling, that general panic that people describe with anaphylaxis. And I recognised it because I'd had a milder version of it about 3 years ago. In that time, I didn't use my EpiPen. But this time, I knew it was serious. And I sort of realised, well, you know, this is why I carry an EpiPen and I need to use it quickly.
Okay.
So I used it sort of, I would say, within really the first 10 minutes of realising
and
it was
were
serious.
You still in the restaurant at that stage, Fiona?
No, for me, for some reason, it seems to take a little bit longer to develop. So this was about 2 hours later. Now, that's quite rare, really. Mm. Most people, it begins to happen quite quickly. But each reaction is different, and each reaction can be, you know, very much serious, more serious than the other, which, unfortunately, Emma's family, you know, had previously had fairly mild reactions,
yeah.
But then she had quite a sudden and severe one, and that is the way anaphylaxis can be.
And were you at home then when you administered the pen?
No, I had some stomach cramps in the pub and didn't really think too much of it. Thought, you know, it was just a combination of food or whatever. And started to make my way home. And as I was walking home, you know, thought this is quite serious. I don't know what's happening here, but this is not just a sick stomach.
Yeah.
Could feel the swelling, could feel the burning in my neck. Could feel the itchiness in my throat and my palate, which is another sign of allergic reaction, and went into my house and, you know, decided I needed to use this. So With reactions like this, you need to deal with the EpiPen first and then call for help. And I suffer from asthma, so I used my Ventolin inhaler as well, which also helped. And, you know, it was a good probably 13, 14 minutes before an ambulance got to me. So, you know, without the EpiPen, that could have turned out quite differently, because it does happen very quickly. As Emma's mother said, it was, you know, over the course of 20 minutes, really, you can go from being fine to being, you know.
And were you able, obviously, you simply press it or inject it into a muscle?
Yeah, it depends on the actual injector, how easy it is to use. But at the moment, a lot of people are being prescribed EpiPens, which they made new versions of in the last couple of years, which are very user-friendly. Mm-hmm. When you look at them, they actually nearly look like a toy. They're very brightly coloured and they've got very clear instructions on them. And essentially, it needs to go into a muscle mass, as you mentioned earlier. You know, if it goes into a vein or into anywhere, you know, with less muscle, it's actually quite serious, you mm-hmm. know, because it increases your heart rate. That's what really it's doing. It's,
yeah.
it's kind of spurring your body back into action. So I put it into, I did it myself. I was telling your researcher, I administered it myself because at that point my reaction was only beginning. So I felt, you know, able to do it myself. Put it into my thigh, took a puff of inhaler. A friend called an ambulance. And really within sort of 3 or 4 minutes, it was working.
Oh,
so it really is an incredible drug, but it has to be available, put it that way, and immediately available.
And it has to be, you say they need to be replaced every 12 to 18 months?
Yes, they don't last very long. It's obviously a chemical solution, so generally about every 12 to 18 months. And, you know, a lot of pharmacies in Ireland in particular don't actually keep them in stock.
Why not? Why not, Fiona? Why is there this worry about them?
No, I don't think it's a worry. I think it's a cost. They cost, I think, about 75 or 80 euro each, and generally people would have two. So obviously, you know, if somebody's only coming in every 3 to 4 months or 6 months, even more, to order an EpiPen, well, that's a lost cost to a pharmacy. So what they generally do is you bring in your prescription and they order them for you overnight, and then the next day you have it. But they really are sort of ordered as requested, because they're very expensive, and I suppose that would be one of my concerns with making them more freely available, is that that's a huge cost to have them in lots of places, and once used they're redundant. So they're slightly different from defibrillators in the sense that, if you can imagine, if it was in a shopping centre and it was used, and then an hour later somebody else needed it, well, you wouldn't have a new one again already, so then it would be redundant.
Yeah, but
it wouldn't work.
Yeah, but Fiona, you would have the first person's life saved.
You would, but
for 120 quid.
But yes, that's true. However, if you think about all the places that people
know,
want to think about,
but
putting
still, I'm just thinking the main street of the capital, the busiest street in the country, couldn't get an EpiPen on the busiest shopping day of the year. But anyway,
they aren't generally that freely available.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't even know whether this pharmacy in question had one in stock. They probably did, because it was O'Connell Street. But I think that.
But they're only available on prescription.
They are. I mean, they're a controlled medicine, and wouldn't really want generally them to be too accessible at the end of the day.
Well, at 120 quid, they're not going to be too accessible.
No, exactly.
You don't get it. There's no other uses for it. You don't get a hit off it.
Not really, but having said that, I have to say personally, I wouldn't be happy with some random passerby in a shopping centre administering it to me. You know, I have it myself with me all the time, so it's always within arm's reach. And generally, my plan would always be to administer
it
to
myself. Yeah, but surely that would be a function of the condition you're in.
No, because if you're using it early enough...
No, but I'm saying if you're in Emma's situation... And Emma's mother's situation, where she hadn't had an attack as severe as this,
mm-hmm.
where she accidentally obviously ingested some peanut, totally accidentally, where she knew when the lips began to swell and the body began to swell and the breathing came extraordinarily, they knew they were in a catastrophic situation.
Yeah.
And one wonders, when you're in a catastrophic situation like that, apart from actually being in a hospital, surely being on the busiest street in the country should give you... She wasn't out in the field in the middle of nowhere, and the busiest street of the country and the busiest day of the year, and she couldn't get help in time. That's
the
problem.
Well, I think that's that's hindsight. I think the pharmacist was put in quite a tricky situation. You know, we don't know who he is or how he felt, but
I'm sure,
you know, that, if he had
I'm
given
sure the
person,
I'm
died,
but Fiona, I'm sure the person feels awful.
And, equally,
but he or she was only going through protocol, and the protocol is that you have to have a prescription. There's no, seems to be procedure about wearing a bracelet or an emergency protocol, as there is now apparently in Scotland, where 80% of the pharmacists have signed up to it.
Yeah, well, that's something I wasn't aware of, actually. Yeah. That's quite interesting. But, I mean, I, you know, there are bracelets that people can wear from a company called MedicAlert, and you can have wear a bracelet. They make them for adults and children, and it, you know, it notifies that you have an allergy. But that would be for if an ambulance was to reach you. But, I mean, I think if for, in this particular situation, in Emma's situation, or for anybody that it happens to in the future, you know, especially if you're in Dublin or in a big city, you need to call an ambulance
straight away.
Because they arrive within, you know, as soon as they can, and they have as much adrenaline as you possibly need to fix the situation. And that's really what adrenaline does. It starts to undo the damage starting.
Oh, you have to, you're right, you have to dial 999 and you have to say clearly, we need adrenaline and we need it quickly. You have to.
Yeah, I mean,
now,
it's,
the problem is outside Dublin now, the ambulance rates, and no fault of the service, but the ambulance rates are 40 to 50 minutes in a lot of cases. So,
yeah, and for people like that who aren't that close to ambulance, I would, you know, probably urge them to try and get the next steps in the treatment from their doctor, which is steroids. Which so the adrenaline stops the reaction where it is, and then the steroids make sure that it stays away. Mm. So really, anybody who's not that close to an ambulance service really should.
And how
have
long were you? How long were you? Did that episode last for? Were you taken to hospital, Fiona? Were you?
I was, yeah.
Were you admitted?
So it started at about 20 past 10 at night. By about 20 to 11, I was giving myself the EpiPen. By 10 to 11, the ambulance was there. And half an hour later, I was in the A&E department. This was all actually happened in England. Mm-hmm. So slightly different in terms of ambulances and access to different things. But, yeah, I was taken to A&E, and you're generally observed for as long as they feel is necessary. So after about 4 hours, I said, you know, I think it's fine now. We're okay, and they give you a few days medication to just keep it all at bay. But if I could just mention one other thing, which I think is worth, you know, mentioning. In England, because of the way the NHS works, I pay £8.05 for 2 EpiPens. Now, in Ireland, I think that charge is close to €150, which, you know, at the moment, while people are struggling a bit more financially, you know, there could be children's lives being put at risk because their parents simply can't afford to replace EpiPens. Now, I'm not, you know, completely up to date on how those charges work, and, you know, you probably need the HSE to confirm that, but it could be an issue.
144 is what you have to pay if it's a monthly. But as you say, the pens can last up to a year, 18 months. Okay, Fiona, stay listening if you will. Jenny is on the line. Jenny, you had an allergy. Go ahead, Jenny.
Hello, my name is Jenny O'Connell. I have what they call now Stephen Johnson syndrome. It's a reaction to tablets. It just doesn't stop that you can die. My reaction caused me that I lost my sight. I went completely blind. I was paralysed for 6 months. That came back, I can walk and that, but for 47 years I was completely blind. Mm-hmm. 5 years today, by coincidence, I got a Boston prosthesis, and I got back my stage one of it. It was done in 2 stages, and I was able to see again in May.
Oh, my God.
So I got tunnel vision, Joe, which I can see a bit. I could see what my son and my daughter and my hubby looked like for the first time. And I could see where I live, the garden, everything, Joe. So the point I'm getting home, Joe, it just doesn't stop that you can die. You can have a reaction and you're living with it all your life. It just doesn't stop. I mean, I'm allergic now to codeine in cough bottles. So my doctor didn't know at the time, and I was on the sofa, fell asleep after taking some, and my daughter came in and she seen my face and my lips swelling and all that. We went straight down to my doctor. He gave it to me, the injection. But another thing, Joe, I know it's a stupid thing to say, but if you put a Harris acetamol, reaction for allergies, in your pocket that works for hay fever. If you have them with you, I know they don't work as quick as the pen, but if you take two of them till you get there to the hospital or a doctor or some help, it does help you.
And in your case, you got your sight back after 47 years.
Yes, today. Well, the stage one was today. Mr. Power in the eye near done a Boston prosthesis too, and I got back. I've tunnel vision, Joe, but I can see and it's getting pretty good. Just my brain and my eye is not working together, but we're getting there.
And what, do you remember waking up after the operation? And
I do, Joe. I remember waking up and not being, you know, the stage one we didn't know, and then stage two, I had Fergus was in from RTE and they'd done quite a lot of the operation and everything else after, and it was very strange, Joe. Very, very strange. I couldn't make out faces for a good while after, but it came slowly back, and thank God it worked in my favour.
And you can see your family now.
I can see my hubby. I can see my son and daughter. I can see them making faces behind my back when I do something like mad. You know, I still do my mad moments. I can see my granddaughter and my grandson. And I can see them coming to the door and a big smiley face and hi, Nan, and throwing their arms around me. And it's lovely, Joe.
That's incredible. To lose your sight and get it back nearly 50 years later.
Yes, Joe. It was a one-off chance. It was a dream, Joe. And I took the chance. And it was good. It was good. But it was really strange. Like, my daughter and my hubby went around the bus stop and said they'd meet me there. So off I went with my guide dog at the time. I went around and my daughter said, Mum, what are you looking for? And I said, a black pole with the bus sign on it. And she said, what's in front of you? And I said, a yellow pole. And she said, that's the bus stop. Now, I lived in a time warp, Joe. You know, everything was so different.
But you're hardly telling me that the first thing you saw, Jenny, was a boring old bus stop.
No. The first thing I saw was my beautiful daughter and my son. And I was down in Wicklow in a park when I could actually distinguish their faces, and discovered my son-in-law now, but my daughter's fiancé at the time. He was he talks with his hands, and to see my daughter-in-law pregnant and coming in and it was, you know, so different. And seeing what they look like, people tell you what people look like, Joe, but my daughter looks like me just before I lost my sight. Because with the Stephen Johnson, I have burn marks that looks like freckles on my face. They're not. They're from the reaction of the tablets.
Okay.
I can do that. Now, only, as I said, Joe, my son looked a lot like my father, which I was quite surprised, but of course I upset my hubby at the time because I was asked what did I think of my hubby, and I said what he looked like and what I thought, and I said Mr. Average, and so I wasn't flavour of the month. But I realised now he's.
And what are you saying? You're telling me your husband, when you got your eyes, you'd never seen your husband.
No.
Okay.
I never seen what he looked like, and I was on the radio doing a program, and they asked me what did I think of my hubby, and I said what I thought of my kiddies and that, and then I said my hubby was Mr. Average, which I not regret, Joe, but I know now he's more than Mr. Average.
Of course,
he's always there for me, and he puts up with my mad moments, and at times I don't know how he does.
Are you able to see your own face, Jenny? What's that like?
I got a fright with that, Joe. I was down in Wicklow with my daughters, and I was in the bathroom, and I screamed. I didn't realise she had a big mirror on the wall, and I could see this person looking back at her. But my daughter had been on at me, Joe, that life had changed so much, and I had my other eye removed some years ago, and I wasn't what I imagined in my head I would look like. So they had told me this, and she kept saying this, but they ran upstairs and knocked on the door, and Mom, let us in, everything's going to be all right, let us in. They thought something had gone wrong with my eye, but it didn't, Joe. It was just me looking at myself in the mirror. It was quite a shock. Quite a shock.
In a good way or a bad way, Jenny?
A good way, Joe, that I could see.
Yeah.
But I could see how much I had aged and what the that. But I laughed at it, Joe. We've got over. We've got there.
And that's 5 years ago today. Congratulations.
Yes.
And I presume it's been magnificent in that sense.
Oh, it has, Joe. Okay. It really has. That, you know, Joe, it's only tunnel vision, Joe.
No,
and
okay,
I know
understand that. Yeah, it's narrow.
But it's better than anything, Joe. You can go out in the garden. I mean, when I first got it, it took me nearly an hour to do a 20-minute walk because I was in everybody's garden on the road looking at the flowers. And it was brilliant.
Fantastic.
It was absolutely brilliant. And the same in the shops. And as I said, my own doctor, he said to me, give it a go. And Mr. Paris said it to my son, he'd have a go at it. And it was so,
and
you know,
other,
unreal, Joe.
Do you know, Jenny, have other people in Ireland had that operation?
There's a few people has it, Joe,
okay.
Yes, now. But a lot of them gets the Boston one, which is very successful. The Boston 2 is for rare cases like mine. I just happen to be lucky, Joe, that Mr. Powell, like the day I went in for the operation, he said it was going to take an hour to clear away the membranes. And my daughter said, you don't know my mother. And we all had a laugh about it. But 2.5 hours later, he was still cutting away membranes. And I owe an awful lot, Joe. I really do, because he's been so good to me. And he's followed up all the treatment, and the team in the INEAR are absolutely fabulous.
Okay.
You know, if I have a problem, Joe, or something's gone wrong with my eye, I ring and they're there for me.
Brilliant, brilliant.
So I have to give that. But the thing is, Joe, it's not just the allergy that can kill you. It can destroy
it can
all your
damage,
life.
Do damage, I know.
Yeah, and people don't. And
the main thing is, 5 years ago today, congratulations. I know you said your husband was Mr. Average when you saw him, but what you meant really was that Mr. Average George Clooney. That's what you meant.
That's right, Joe. That's right.
God bless you, Jenny.
Thank you, Joe, very much. And thank you for taking the call. Please just get out there and get help quick.
Thanks for making the call. Okay. Thanks indeed, Jenny. 51551. Bye. Fiona Hollins and Galway. Fiona, you say you have a teenager who has to carry a pen.
Exactly. Yeah, she's 12, actually. Almost a teenager.
And you say you see the problem that some teenagers, they forget, they're in a hurry, they're running,
exactly.
Their mobile phone is more important than anything else.
Exactly.
So
you couldn't be 100% sure that you'll always have it on you every second of the day. And that's where the danger lies, you know.
So Caroline's campaign to try and get some protocols about pharmacies and the emergency administration of adrenaline is important. You say your daughter would also have a problem administering it.
Yeah, she's already told me that she'd refuse to use it on herself because she's afraid of needles. So, I mean, it's probably fairly normal for somebody of 12 years of age not to want to use a needle on their body. But I'm told by her, it's in the family, the allergies, and her aunt has told me that, you know, usually it's somebody else that's going to have to use it on you anyway. So she, you know, her friends are aware of how to use
the... And the school,
we'd be relying on our friends to do it, you know, if we weren't there. But it's certainly more worrying when they get older, because when they're younger, they're with you all the time and you can't stop them heading off, enjoying themselves,
Course,
you know.
So
that's the biggest worry.
OK, thanks, Fiona Holland. Maureen is in Rathfarnham in Dublin. It's not a peanut allergy, Maureen.
Hi, how are you, Joe? No, it's actually to latex and rubber.
OK.
Yeah.
And would you get the same reaction if you put on a pair of marigold gloves?
The same reaction as what's been described already, so it is.
And you need you need the EpiPen or the Anapen, whatever the brand name is.
Yeah, I carry the Anapen all the time with me, yeah.
And how many have you had to use it?
Yeah, I've used it quite a few times. I've had 8 admissions to intensive care.
Wow.
And I've been intubated seven times.
And how, if you're so conscious of being allergic to these items, how did it happen?
I suppose the first few times I hadn't got, they hadn't got results back, or the testing hadn't been done to find out what I was actually allergic to. And then when I did find out, I suppose there's only like the peanut allergies or any other allergies, shellfish, you know, with restaurants and that, there's only so much control you have yourself of it, you know, but the knowledge of it is certainly half. And I suppose, you know, the fact that you have your Anapen is quite a bit as well.
But surely you'd know if latex or rubber was coming near your body.
You have, but if you're in, we'll say, where the temperatures, we'll say, on a day like this, even when there's sunshine, and if there's something with latex and rubber, even the smell from that, if there's a strong smell on that, it could start a reaction depending on how your system depends on your system.
You can be
as well.
So sensitive.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks indeed, Maureen. As you say, more awareness, more availability, more protocols in terms of who, when, where, especially in busy spots. Thanks indeed. More to come tomorrow. 51551 continues. Angus McInally produced, and Derek Mooney is next.